told Brother Ferdy before church, those 7, 8, 9 steps that I take to get from here to here, some of the scariest steps there are. I don't ever want to lead someone astray. I'm getting ready to preach God's word, I don't take it lightly. Why? Because you're real people with real problems. I hope you consider that as you listen. And listen with the same thought of what we're about ready to endeavor here with the Word of God. It's the greatest moment you'll have this week is with the Word of God open, being preached to our hearts. And let the Spirit of God try to do something to help us. Because we all got problems. We all face difficulties. We all need answers. We all need the Lord. I'm out with some kind of song. It's not very often I don't amen, but I think it just kind of got on me. Why? Because I know some of the problems you're dealing with. I know some of the things I deal with. And where would we be without the Lord? How would we handle it? I'd blow my brains out. If I had to deal with things without the Lord, some of the things we handle, some of the things I handle, some of the things I listen to, and some of that stuff, I have no answer. And it's like you and like me, I want to help people. I don't want to lie to people. I want to be able to give somebody some real truth and some real help. And aren't you glad you have a Bible? Man, aren't you glad you have a Bible today? Where would we be without the Bible? Galatians chapter 4, if you would, please. Galatians chapter 4. Mother's Day, I took that passage in Matthew where the Lord said, how often would I have gathered you as little chickens, as the hen gathereth her chicks, and preached along those lines. And I'd like to take it today a little bit this morning and with the thought of Father's Day and realizing this, and I do realize this, we all have fathers and we all have a mother, but we all don't have maybe what we would consider good fathers or good mothers. I appreciate my father. I appreciate I was raised with a good father and a good mother. I don't say that with any ounce of I'm sorry about that. I thank God for that. But I realize there are some that have lived their life maybe not with that as the case. But I would like to maybe this morning, if I could, lay out before you that the whole world has an opportunity to have the greatest father there is. And I don't know of any greater term of endearment, in, as you'll see here in a moment, even in the Bible, than that little word dad, right down to, as a little child would maybe say, daddy. Or if you're from the South, diddy. Pretty dear, isn't it? Not to get too emotional as I start the day here, but my daughters, they're still my daughters, although I've added to the family outlaws or in-laws or son-in-laws. But I just did a little communicating with them this morning. I'm glad the Lord let me be a father. Now, can I just stop there for a second and tell you that doesn't make me any more spiritual than someone who's not a father? Kids are not what make you spiritual. The number of kids does not make you spiritual. You know, there's some people that cannot have kids that are saved that love God more than I love God. But if the Lord allowed you to be a father today, a mother today, it's a real blessing. It's a blessing. It's not a curse, it's a blessing. But he does put them in your home, and you are responsible for them. I'm saying it again, you are responsible for them. Don't let the school system, the government raise your kids. Don't let the neighbor raise your kid. You raise your kid. And raise them the way the Bible says, to raise them in an admonition of the Lord. Isn't it a blessing that the Lord gives you those years and puts a Bible in your hand, maybe a church around you where you can gather yourselves and bring your kids and listen to them testify along those lines. It doesn't hurt your kid to drag them to church.
I'm going to tell you where your kid will not get hurt. It will not get hurt in a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. They'll get help. Now, they can choose to receive it, reject it. That's up to them. That's that free will. But I'm going to tell you, there's one place that they can come and not get indoctrinated with the world. You can get indoctrinated with the truth of Jesus Christ, and that's here in church. It's a good place to have them. It's a good place to be excluded from the world from a little bit and all the ways and all the things you got in there. And I'll just start out this morning a little bit by telling you, probably the greatest place the devil has now is social media. And if you're on it, you're on it. There's nothing I can do to take you off of it. But I would say you might want to pray over that thing. There's a lot of harm done. You realize that's a real make-believe world? You realize a lot of things you read on that place and get you all, you know, jacked up about look at their life and look what they're doing and those kind of things. Have you maybe ever stopped to consider maybe that's the devil putting something in front of you to get you envious and jealous over somebody else when you're not to have envy, covetous, or jealousy? You're supposed to be content with what you got. But you get out there and start living your life through somebody else's life and fantasizing about things and how all good it could be and people like this and traveling the world and all kinds of that stuff. You know, maybe the greatest place there is just sitting at home and coming to church and just living life that way for the Lord. You don't always have to be going about doing things to enjoy your life with the Lord. So now it's not about here. It's about where you're going there. And if you'll just stop and consider, you know, Lord, maybe I should stop thinking so much about all that kind of stuff and just keep my mind staying on you. It'll settle some things down for us. I listened to the preacher preach the other day up there in Jacksonville, and he said, you know what? When you get old, you know the greatest thing to do is just be old. You know, older people want to go back and relive their youth. You know, nowhere in the Bible does it say you go back and relive your youth. Matter of fact, I'm pretty sure Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind you, I press towards the mark. If you're always looking back and say, well, I used to do this, and all that's ahead of me is old age, well, just thank God for the old age. You realize there's people that don't make old age? Some die in their 30s, some die in their 20s, some die in their teens, some die in their 40s, some die in their 50s, some die in their 60s. What's old age? I don't know. I'll let you decide what old age is. But there's nothing wrong with getting old. That's how the Lord set it up. The older I get, the more I want to go there. I'm not looking to make it down here and change my life down here and go back and relive things and let's spice things up. There's nothing more spicy than the Word of God. Well, my life's not being very fulfilled. Listen, the only one that can really give you fulfillment in his life is Jesus Christ. You know, you tell your kids, oh, don't use that word boredom. But in life, we get bored. That's called life. Life isn't always exciting. Life isn't always the next adventure. Life isn't always the next big thing. Life isn't always, oh, hey, look, let's travel. Let's do this. How about let's just sit down and thank God we're saved and let's see what the Lord has for me. I'm getting older. My kids are getting out of the house. I told you all the time, you better listen to the preacher a little bit. You better prepare for an empty nest. One day it's just going to be me and her, if the Lord tarries. But that's how the Lord set it up. What are we going to do? Well, you know, let's go back and let's, you know, go back in our 20s and let's go. No, we're going to be old together. A great blessing is growing old together. I'll take my teeth out and I'll hand them to her and she can scrub my teeth. Get my toenails. That's called love. That's spicing things up. That's so good. Why? I think we have a real misunderstanding of what love is. You know, when you marry each other, husbands love your wives, wives love your husbands. That doesn't mean every day is full of excitement. You know when the best time to love someone? When you don't feel like loving them. Yeah. You know, men aren't always easy to love. You know, men, ladies, I preached a couple months ago, maybe a year or so ago, the differences between men and women. There's big differences, thank God. One of the great differences is just the communication that men have. I told you many a times there, I could sit there and be perfectly content. You can ask her. 24 hours in the car not saying a word. Now, to you ladies, you're like, what's wrong with you? Did I do something? Why aren't you bearing your soul to me? Because I got nothing to bear. I'm pretty simple. But don't misread it. She didn't misread that I don't love her. But you see how that can go? We're just different. We're different. I preached a little bit on Thursday night. I'm going to come back to it. Let me get this off, and I'll come back to the preaching. I got a pretty good message, I think, from the Lord. But one of the things that happened over the last few years, and it's been there ever since, but it's really rampant now, is men now work from home, and so you're around each other 24/7. Now, I dealt with this with my daughter and her husband because he works from home now, and they got a little one-bedroom apartment. There's no corner of the rooftop for him. He's got to climb up, you know, more steps to get up there. But that means they're going to be together for 24/7. Oh, that sounds like a Hallmark movie. They're liars. You don't live in Hallmark. You live in real life. Amen. Don't let Hollywood dictate that and play some kind of false thing on your mind. You know what's going to come with 24/7? Contentions. Yes, they will come. But now what happened is now the husband's home and the wife is home, and now you think, well, you know he's home, but you know what he's doing at home? He's working. You know how it's supposed to be set up. A man should go out. It's good to get out. I come over here. I sit over here 48 hours in a row. Why? I'm hoping the whole time she begins to miss me. She's excited when I come home. And by the way, your family should be excited when you come home. You shouldn't be the tyrant. But it gives her time to miss me and me time to miss her. Because I don't know if I could come up with stuff to talk about for 24 hours. So I would be sitting there and she'd be looking at me and I'd be looking at her. And what you thinking about? I ain't thinking about anything. What you thinking about? But here's what happens, ladies and gentlemen. I've warned this from the get-go, and you might want to listen to this, especially you young people that have to work from home. I realize you can't go in the office. They put you at home for whatever reason that is, and you can look at that stuff there. But wives, it's still a husband who's working. He's not going to be able to give you full attention. He's not going to be able to be there at your beck and call, although he's in the room. And so I'm just telling you there's some things and some contentions there. And why didn't you talk? Hey, he's working. I'm just telling you, you have to figure that thing out. Because what the world wants men to become is effeminate. Let the man begin to cook. Man, if you cook, no problem. Let the man change all the diapers. Let the man, you know, now the men are just, now they become these mom dads. It's not the way the Lord set that thing up. I'm just warning you, you could take the preacher, you could take it and say, preacher, I don't believe any of that stuff. He's home, he's going to do everything. He's right there for me to tell him what to do, and he can help as much as anything and stuff like that. I'm telling you, it could do some damage. You better be careful. You better be careful and realize maybe the situation you're in, it's not a situation you asked for, but that's just how it is. And okay, he's at the house, he's doing some things there, but in the meanwhile there, I'm just trying to establish some things this morning here. What happens in life is when you get married and things, and you're going to have what they just think about real people with real problems. And there's some things you might want to consider, and I'm going to tell you where you get all the answers. You get all the answers from the Bible. I dealt with some things this week, and thank God, if you get the Word of God in you, it's amazing what happens when you have the Word of God in you, when these things inundate you, and you got to answer these questions here. You're like, I don't know what to do, but the Bible does. And the Bible begins to shine light, and you're like, oh, goodness, I read that in the Bible somewhere. Now I'm facing that thing, but at least I know what to do because I read the Bible. You need to know what the Word of God says about things. You need to know the order to things. You know how things go. And I'm just telling you, you take that for what it is. And I have dealt with it, and I've dealt with it many, many times. I deal with it on almost a weekly basis, where now everybody is together and nobody's away. We're not apart from each other there, and it creates all this. And, you know where it creates things? It creates things in your mind. You begin to believe there's problems, and begin to believe there's things because you know why this and why that. And ultimately, there's no problem, but the devil can get in your mind. And the next thing you know, you're distressed and weighed down about things and stuff like that. And you're creating problems that aren't really problems because there's nothing there. But in your mind, you're thinking there has to be something wrong. Aren't you glad you have a book? And not only that, aren't you glad you have a Heavenly Father? one who can settle some things down for us, and we need settled down. You need to know what the Bible says about things. You know, one of the greatest things, ladies and gentlemen, if you're married in this room, one of the greatest things you get to do is you grow old and you grow old together. You want to not only grow old together in your marriage, but you want to grow old together in the Word of God. Listen, husband, wife, you both need to grow in the Word of God. One of the things I'm very thankful for in my life, my wife, as we go along, deal with some things together, she's right there with me. That's a blessing. I didn't have to fight her on things. I didn't have to even tell it to her. She already came to me with the same thing I was coming to her. We met right here. And you know the common denominator was the Word of God. That's priceless. I didn't have to preach it to her. I didn't have to convince her of it. God did it. Why? Because there's unity in that book. You'll come out with the same beliefs if you believe that King James Bible. That's a blessing. That'll help you in your marriage. You both need to be reading the Bible. You both need to be growing in the Lord. You both need to be studying the book. What happens oftentimes is either the man will continue to study and the woman gets so busy, and I realize it, but next thing you know, her spiritual life is what drops off. Or what you're seeing more today is the woman takes more interest in the Bible than the man takes. Can I tell you, you both should have the same interest in God? You know what that'll allow you? As the days, the weeks, the months, the years go on, we go 24 years tomorrow. Yeah, thanks for staying with me. If you had to live with me for 24 years, I'm not sure you would have made it. You wouldn't clip my toenails. She does not clip my toenails. I just want your attention. 24 years. But you know where we grew the most together? Right here. You know what gives us 24 years? Right here. I get up in the morning. I go out. I see her. And she's in there and she's reading this book. Oh, that's worth more than anything to me. Why? Because we can come together here. This thing will fix a lot of things, won't it? Galatians chapter 4. I'm trying to preach a little bit now. Galatians chapter 4. Relationships, husband, wife, father, mothers, children. We all have mothers. We all have fathers. But there's one father that we all must have. Isn't it amazing we can all on this earth come together and be under one Father? May I just start out this morning by telling you, when you first born into this world, your Father is not God. The Bible says you're born a sinner. You're born there in enmity with God there. And yes, as children and babies, there's innocency there and things along those lines. I'll get to that in a moment here. But when you're born, your Father is not on. When we all get to heaven, doesn't mean everyone goes to heaven. I'll show you in a moment here, not everyone can call God their Father and really have Him be their Father. I know there's religions out there. I know there's people out there that believe that all men everywhere are saved and everyone on earth is saved, but not according to the Bible. But in Galatians chapter 4, verse number 1, if I could just start out there. The Bible, you can remain seated. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. Even though when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them, buy you back. Get you back from somebody. He had to redeem you back from someone. To redeem you, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive, and here's my word for the day, the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Heavenly Father, help us today. Preach to us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the great words in your Bible is right here in Galatians chapter 4. You'll see it again in Mark, and you'll see it again in Romans, and I'll take you to Romans in a moment here. and other places there. But here in Romans and Mark, here he calls those words Abba, Father. He leaves that Hebrew word in there and it makes it there for you for that endearment. And in order for God to become your Father and to be your Father, it shows you back here that you were the child of someone before you become the child of God. And the word he uses here, and you'll see it in Romans here in a moment, here is the word adoption. I love the I-O-N words of the Bible. One of the greatest words there is in the Bible is the word adoption. Now, I don't know, I was not adopted into the Hunter family. I was born into the Hunter family. But in this world here, many of you, and I don't have to go down what adoption is, but adoption is a great thing here, even in the world we live in. But isn't it something here that we, as the Bible says, can all be adopted into the same family and have the same father? And there's nothing like adoption. There's nothing like knowing you're being adopted. You know, adoption costs people. You know, the word adoption, what it means, if you would just look it up, it's a placing of a child. A placing of a child. There's a bunch of mothers, young people, now listen to me, listen. I think one of the most gracious things there is in this world is for some lady not to have an abortion, but if they can't take care of the baby, put the baby up for adoption. If you're ever in that predicament there, you're in that life and life got hard and real people are real problems, and maybe you're in a situation there and you're with child there and that situation comes on you, can I just tell you the answer is not aborting the child. That might be the world's answer. That would not be God's answer. But maybe the answer would be from a mother's point of view to say, I cannot take care of this child. I cannot care for him or her the way I should be able to care for him. Maybe you're young, maybe whatever it would be, but that thought there, now I can give her up or him up for adoption. I'd like to maybe lay out a little bit of what adoption is. By the time you get done with the message, I trust you shout. Why? Because adoption changed your life. Boy, oh boy, what you got when you got adopted into the family of God by the blood of Jesus Christ. But I will say this, if you just take adoption today, it's a placing of a child. It's a placing of someone's child, not the birth parents of that child, but the birth parents give up that child and place them under someone else's house, and then they become that person's child legally. Binding. You realize no one can take that child, not even the birth parents can take that child away from the parent that adopted them. That child now becomes that parent, people's child. But you know what happens in the process of adoption? It costs. You know what it costs? It costs one side only. The little baby being adopted doesn't cost them anything when it comes to money, but the people doing the adopting, it costs them a lot. It costs someone a lot to adopt you. Did it not cost Jesus Christ his life? Did he not pay a high price for you to be able to be adopted into the family of God, to be taken out of the children of wrath, the children of disobedience, from being a child of the devil to being a child of God? It cost him. It cost him a lot. You know what happens with that child? That child is usually taken out of a situation where that home is a mess and things along those lines that can't be taken care of, and it's put in a home that can take care of them. Aren't you glad you went from one place where you couldn't be taken care of under the wings of God to be able to be taken care of? It's amazing what takes place with adoption and what happens there in the process of adoption. You know what also happens in adoption? Aren't you glad that it doesn't matter what color skin you are? Doesn't matter where you're from. People from the United States adopt children from all over the world. People from all over the world adopt children from all over the world. Aren't you glad God will save whosoever will? It's not based on your skin color. You realize you didn't choose your skin color. You realize you didn't choose to be a man or a woman. God chose those things for you. You might want to get that
settled. God chose those things for you.
But I'm real glad God's not a respecter and say, all right, well, my people are the Jews, and forget the Gentiles and forget them. I'm glad I got in. Adoption doesn't look at the skin color, doesn't look at where you're from. It just says, you know what? That child needs to be loved. You went from a home that maybe did not love you to a home that loves you when you got adopted. And you know what that gives them? It gives them a better home. Now, I'm going to preach those points to you here in a moment here, but aren't you glad you have a better home because you got adopted into Jesus Christ? And I don't mean your earthly home. I mean you have a heavenly home that awaits you. You know what happens when someone gets adopted? They change their name. We used to watch a TV thing, Duck Dynasty, with those hillbilly boys up there. I like those guys. I know they're Church of Christ, and they're probably on their way to hell, but I liked watching them. Yeah, amen. If you're Church of Christ and you believe water saves you, you're on your way to hell. It's only by the blood of Jesus Christ. Say, well, any religion works. Not any religion works. That's not how you get into the family of God. Well, you know, Catholics have their religion. Jehovah's Witnesses have their religion. Mormons have their religion. It's all good. It all makes me feel good. Okay, Isaac. Isaac went on feelings. He touched him, and he knew Jacob touched Isaac. Isaac touched Jacob and knew it didn't feel right. It felt right, but it didn't sound right. But Isaac went on his feelings. Feelings will put you in hell. You better go on faith coming by hearing and hearing by the word of God. There's only one way to be saved, and it's not all religious get you to heaven. It's only the blood of Jesus Christ that gets you to heaven. There's no Jesus on the cross still. Don't wear no Jesus on the cross. He ain't on the cross. He's not even in the tomb. He's not even hell anymore. Up from the grave he arose. Wear an empty tomb. That's what saves your soul. You will not go to heaven on religion. I don't care how good it makes you feel. I don't care what it does. Do you think, oh, it's so good, and how can these people be so wrong? The Bible makes you wrong, and the Bible makes you right. Right. You better get that right. Would it be worth burning in hell for eternity on that? Well, preacher, there's just more of them, and there's such sweet people, and, you know, I like that, and I like how they have things. I just like to put you in hell. You better get there on truth. And the truth is, you better be born again. The truth is, you belong to the devil until you get born again. And then that adoption process began, and now no longer you are children of a child of the devil. Now you become the sons of God. But that only happens when you get saved. Please don't go to hell on religion. Please don't take your last dying breath thinking, well, I hope I'll get there. I'm going to show you in a moment here. I know in whom I have believed. So he tells you back here in Galatians here, he starts out there being adopted. Adopted. Go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Before you're a savior, a child of the devil. John 8:44 tells, talking to those Pharisees, he reminds them there, I have you on your way to Romans, but go back, stop at Ephesians 2. I got you. I know I'm taking you back, but go to Ephesians 2. And then I'll take you to Romans. Ephesians 2. What are you trying to do, preacher? Listen, it's Father's Day. And if you're saved, we all have the greatest father there is. Amen. You got adopted into the greatest family there is. It's called the family of God. It's called the church. It's called the bride of Christ. You have the greatest heavenly father there is watching over you. And you got saved and spiritually baptized into his family, and now you would take his name. And now he lives in you. And not even the devil or God himself take that away from you. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you, Anthony, quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, quickened, made alive. Your spirit got born again, was made alive. Listen, if you're not saved here today, you have a dead spirit. The natural man understandeth not the things of God. Why am I in church today? Why am I listening to this guy scream and yell and holler? This is bothering me. This is irritating me. Well, that's because you have a dead spirit. The Holy Spirit inside you is amen. And if you're saved today, it's saying, thank God, praise God, to get past this Nabal, get past this flesh, get back to down there where the new man is, where the new creature is, where I can get something from God today, get some help today. Real people with real problems down there, and I got problems, but thank God I'm in the family of God. Thank God I'm adopted into his family. I no longer belong to the devil. Now I belong to Jesus.
Amen.
But if you're here today and you're lost, you're like, this is what in the world? That's why the Bible says this is the foolishness of preaching. It sounds so foolish to listen to some guy up there talk. Well, some guy's up here trying to save your soul from hell.
Amen.
By telling you, you either receive Jesus Christ or go to hell.
Amen.
Say, who are you to tell me that? Well, someday God will tell you that. But aren't you glad you have a way today to receive Jesus Christ?
Amen.
Get your spirit made alive.
Amen.
When Adam sinned, he said, "Ye shall surely die." What died? His spirit died. And now in order for your spirit to be born again, you've got to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Not some religion, not something, not some prayer, not something they do. It's a person who died on a cross, shed his blood, went in the grave 3 days, 3 nights, down in hell, went across the paradise, and let captivity up from the grave. He arose, and he's seated at the right hand of the Father.
Amen.
You better put your faith and trust in that person today. That's the only way you get adopted into the family. Otherwise, you'll join your father in hell someday. That's where the devil ends up. Ephesians 2, verse number 2. Wherein in times past ye walked, where in times past ye walked, past tense, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit in that that now worketh in the children of disobedience. See, we're children. We're children. Bible tells them there, you were children of disobedience. In the next verse, children of wrath. That's under the devil. That's before you got saved. Such were some of you. Man, I'm glad I'm not that guy anymore. I'm glad I don't belong to him anymore. Give no place to the devil. Some of you better wise up to that. You think you can live your life like you want to, no consequences. Just because judgment's not executed speedily doesn't mean judgment's not coming. And I'm going to tell you what, you better be fearful to fall in the hands of an angry God. And God is angry with the wicked every day. We saw on Thursday night there that name, that's a worthy name. Some of you take the name of the Lord in vain. Don't you think he doesn't keep record? God keeps record of your mouth. God keeps record of your words. That's scary to me. You know what makes me real thankful for? For the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That cleanses. It cleanses. Some of you need a cleansing today. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, while you're in Romans 8, listen to this verse. Galatians 3:26 says this. Galatians 3:26 says, "For ye are all children of God." Now that sounds good. That's where most people stop the verse. That's where most preachers, most religions, most places will stop the verse and just say, "Oh, we're all children of God." They'll say, "Well, you know, yeah, there's a hell, but you know, one day God will come to his senses, and how could a loving God put someone in hell? How could a God like that create you to go? He didn't create you to go to hell. He created hell for the devil and his angels. You choose to go to hell. But we're all children of God." Not according to that Bible, because if you finish the verse, you must finish the verse. He says we're all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. You know the condition of your adoption. You know how you're adopted. You had to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and him alone for your salvation. What he just gave you in Sunday school, if you never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're not adopted into the family. You don't belong to God. You're not the son of God. You're on your way to hell. You're still a two-fold child of the devil. So what do? Get saved today.
Amen.
Greatest thing you can do on Father's Day is get saved.
Amen.
The greatest thing you can do on any day is get saved.
Amen.
Fathers, listen to me, fathers. The thing you're praying for most for your kids is they, and your families, they all get saved. Some of you fathers might need to find your way down on an altar today and carry your family members right in your heart and mind right down on an altar today and get on your knees and do what any father should do. Get down there and pray for your kids, pray for your grandkids, pray for your unborn great-grandkids. You lay up those prayers in heaven. You store them up in heaven. That's the most important thing you can do in your life. Not leave them money here. Leave them that they make it to heaven someday. Some of you men need to get real serious about your prayer life. Some of you fathers need to get on your knees. Romans chapter 8. So in order for you to be adopted, you have to, for by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourself. Listen to me, not of yourself, not of works. He did all the work on the cross of Calvary. You try to work yourself there, your righteousness is as filthy rags. You imagine someday standing before God and trying to compare your righteousness to the righteousness of Jesus Christ and thinking God's going to let you in on your righteousness. Aren't you glad when you got saved, you got His righteousness imputed to you? That's how you get in.
Abba. Abba, Father. I don't know, something about that endearment. I remember when Brittany was a baby, she might have said Mommy first.
But I couldn't wait to hear those words, Daddy. Nothing like hearing your little kids say that word, Daddy. Listen to me, kids. Listen to me. You want to please your dad? You want to please your mom? Serve Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Love Jesus Christ. Forsake the world for Jesus. You know what the Bible says in the book of James here? It says, when sin is conceived, it bringeth... When it is conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. You know what the world will do? It'll take your life. Jesus gave His life for you. So you can have eternal life. Romans chapter 8, look at verse 14.
Abba. For as many are as led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God.
You know, John 1:12 tells you, for as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God. Luke chapter 3 tells you when Adam was a son of God, and Adam fell. All those fallen angels, those sons of God that are fallen angels, they were sons of God. You know what God's looking for? He's looking for sons. He's looking for children. You know how you become His child? Receive His Son, Jesus Christ. And then what happens there? Then you get the Spirit of God inside of you. And now that inside of you, you're getting led by the Spirit. And I'm going to tell you what, the Spirit won't lead you to the world. The Spirit will lead you towards the things of God. In verse 15, it says, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. What a thought. You know one of the signs you know you're saved? You're led by the Spirit. Spirit of God inside you bears witness. Go to 1 John chapter 5, if you would, please. 1 John chapter 5. I'm glad I don't doubt if I'm going to heaven. I tell you all the time, I've been by so many deathbeds. I've been by so many people that are getting ready to go out of this old earth. And boy, I tell you what, I'm going to tell you what you're not talking about. You're not talking about your bank account. You're not talking about your house. You're not talking about all your things and all the stuff you did in this world and all the things you think you're living for that makes your life exciting. And if I had this next big trip, if I had this next thing, you know, not one time do they talk about that. They talk about Jesus. Why? When it's all said and done, it's about Jesus. You better make your life about Jesus now. 1 John chapter 5 tells you this. Look at verse 9. 14. No, I'm sorry. Verse 9. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. You believe God over man. You better believe God over man. Man will lie to you. God never lies. God cannot lie. Thank God for that. You better believe the witness of God. It's greater. For this is the witness of God, which He hath testified of His Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of His Son. I'm glad I chose to believe God. And you know what there is? There's a witness inside of you. Romans 8 told you the Spirit of God's inside of you. He leads, He guides. Take your Bible and go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Here's the Apostle Paul. How do you get to the time when you're coming to the end of your life that Paul did there, and he's willing to say the words, I am ready to be offered. I'm ready to be offered. I'm ready to die. Can I ask you a question today? Are you ready to die? Are you ready to die? If you're not a child of God, you're not ready to die. You split hell wide open. Well, I don't believe in hell. Don't matter if you believe in it or not. God says it's there, it's there. You don't get to change it. And you don't get the air conditioning. And you don't get the party down there. And you're not going to go down there and see your friends. You know what's taking place in hell right now? Wailing. Gnashing of teeth. Screams and sounds. You know what the rich man's still doing? He's still waiting for his tongue to be cooled. It'll never be cooled for all of eternity. He's burning. Why would you want to go there? Why would you choose to go there? Pride? Pride? You know who the father of pride is? You know what fathers usually pass down? They pass down their traits. And you know what the devil passes down to his kids? Pride. Pride said, I don't care. I don't believe that. You're not calling the preacher a liar, by the way. You're calling God a liar. But aren't you glad you have a witness in yourself? Well, look what Paul says here in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Is this your testimony today? Look at verse 12, please. For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I commanded unto him against that day. I tell you what, when that day comes, I'm glad that my Father, God Almighty, is going to look at me through his Son, Jesus Christ. I know in whom I have believed. Can I ask you this morning, who are you believing in? I have many things, preacher. I got, I take a little from here, and I take a little from there, and I take some from here, and I take some from here. Not how God set it up. He said, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's Jesus. It's not coexist religion. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. You better get that. Some of you are getting older. Don't matter your age in here, you're a breath away from hell or a breath away from heaven. I'm glad I'm a breath away from heaven. Amen. Why? What makes you better than me? Nothing, just the blood of Jesus Christ saved me. And I know whom I have believed. No greater peace on this earth to know where I'm going to go when I drop dead. David said, y'all just a step away from death. You realize you could be one step away from dying? You know the only reason your heart beats right now? God says beat. You fool around with sin, sin will kill you. You fool around with sin, God can kill you. I know in whom I have believed. 1 John chapter 3, I'm wrapping it up. I love to preach about Jesus. I love to know what family I belong to. I love to know who my Heavenly Father is. I love that word adoption. Adopted. Adopted. I was back there at that TV show. One of the things that happened in that TV show one time there with the Robertson family is they had a boy that was in foster care. They had several of them there that they take through foster care. And foster care is different than being adopted. Foster care is a home that kids get placed into and things like that. When there's trouble in their own home, they go through some things there. And there's parents there, people there that take care of them and help them through some difficult times. But they don't become their child legally. They don't get adopted. They're just being fostered. And this kid had gone through so many of those foster homes and stuff like that. And he finally got to this family here. And one day came there where they made the decision in their family that they were going to pay the cost and open their home up and give this boy a place to live and give him a new home, and they were going to adopt him. And they played it out on TV, and they went to the courthouse, and they filmed it at the courthouse there, and a lawyer met him there, and they met him there that day, and that boy was just gleaming. I mean, just a smile you couldn't even imagine on his face. And he went into that courthouse there, and they met him there, and the lawyer met him there, and he said, "Rowdy, you ready for your big day?" He said, "I've been waiting for this day all my life." And they just showed some clips of them in the courthouse there, and they're sitting there at the tables and sitting there, and the judge is up there, and it goes real fast as they go through the scene there. And the next thing you know, they're coming down the steps of the courthouse, and he's waving his paper. He's waving his paper. He can't contain himself anymore. Now they get there and they have this big party for him there, and it's his turn to speak, and his brother spoke who they adopted earlier and things like that. And this boy gets up and he says this. He says, "Now I know what it means to be loved." When you get adopted into the family of God, now I know what it means to be truly loved. There's no greater love than the love of God. This world cannot produce a love that God gives you when you receive His Son, Jesus Christ. And you know what His name is now? It's now Rowdy Robertson until He dies. Like he waved that paper, I'll wave this book. Why? From this book, boy, I learned how to get adopted into the family of God. And boy, I never want to stop shouting about it. And now I really know what it means to be loved. The world has a false love. We look for false love. We look for things along those lines. But 1 John chapter 3, look what he says. Look at verse 1. Here's your blessing. Here's the blessing. You know what his blessing was? I still see his face. I've been around people. Some of you in this room know what it means to be adopted. Some of you in this room, you parents, know what it means to adopt someone. You know what it costs. You can picture this in your own life and what you went through and how much it means. And for the Lord to use that for us. One boy said it this way. He told some kid here. This boy was adopted, and he was talking to somebody there, and he said, "You know what?" Talking to his friend. He said, "You know the difference between me and you?" He says, "My parents chose me. Your parents just had you. Aren't you glad God chose you? Aren't you glad He chose whosoever will to be His son, to be His child? He was willing to pay the price. Give you love you didn't deserve. The devil does not love you. The world does not love you. That's a counterfeit love. They'll use you and abuse you and kick you to the curb. Jesus Christ gives you eternal life. Offers you forgiveness. And here he says in 1 John 3:1, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God." You know what Rowdy Robertson became in that illustration? He became the object of the Robertson's love. You know what happens to you when you get saved? You become the object of God's love. No longer does the wrath of God abide on me. Now His love abides in me. Are you kidding me? You mean I can really know what it means to know love? Yeah, because God is love.
And if you want to know the love of God, you have to receive His Son, Jesus Christ. And now you become the object of His love, and He'll never stop loving you. Nothing like being loved by God and knowing you're being loved by God. Parent, can I help you here? Let me pause for a second. Your kids need to know that you love them. Your kids need to know you love them. You know, back there, it started out there in Romans there, and back in Galatians there, it talked about a servant to a son. A servant. Listen, if you're saved, you're a servant of Jesus Christ. You want to serve Him, but better yet, you're a son of God. You know that prodigal there when he's in the pig's pen there and he's away from the father and he's out there spending it all in the world and using it all up? By the way, he wasn't using it up. The world was using him up. And when the world was finished with, you know where he found himself? In a pig's pen. But you know what happened to him? He came to himself. Some of you need to come to yourself today and realize not only is it better back in my own physical father's and mother's house where they take me to church, and it's about the things of God and not the world, but it's much better back in my Heavenly Father's house. And He says this. He says, I'll go back and I'll be His servant. He was His son. But He said, no, I'll just go back and be His servant. And He gets back to that father. And that father sees Him coming. He wastes no time running to Him. He said, I'll just be your servant. He says, no. You're more than a servant to me. You're my son. And if you're saved today, aren't you glad you're His child? Amen. Maybe some of you need to get back to the Father's house today. Stop wallowing around in the pig's mess out there. What do you think would have happened to the prodigal? I think he would have died if he didn't get back to the Father's house. Why? The world will kill you. The world has killed many relationships. Your marriage will not survive without Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad you're His son? If you're saved today, got one more good one for you. Not only the object of His love, but look in 1 John chapter 3. Look at verse number 2. See, yes, it says there you are adoption and adoption of sons, but you know this adoption will take place in the future. Verse number 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. Who's the Him? Well, the Him there is the only begotten Son of God. That's Jesus Christ. See, that's why your new perverted Bibles get it real messed up, because they just call Him the only Son. No, He's the only begotten Son of God. Why? Because if you're saved today, you're a son of God. But you know what your future will be? Your future someday in Romans chapter 8, and I promise you I'm done. Look at Romans 8. If you're saved, here's your future. If you're saved today, you've got a real bright future. If you're saved today, you got a bright future. If you're not saved today, this is the best you'll ever have it. And then you'll stand in Revelation chapter 19 at a great white throne, and God will say, depart from me, for I never knew thee. Well, I'm well known down there in that world down there. Everybody knew me. It's more important God knows you than people know you. You might want to remember that. You're not building up followers down here, that stinking influencer stuff and stuff like that he's talking about. What in the mess is an internet influencer? You don't want the internet influencing you. You don't want the world influencing you. You want Jesus. Yeah. Don't be listening to the world. Let them influence you. They'll influence you right into hell. Influencers. Making millions of dollars on people's vanity. Why? Men are lovers of their own selves. Well, man, once you really know the love of God, you'll want to love God. And then Romans chapter 8,
verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn,
and I love the last three words, among many brethren. Adoption. Adoption. You know what adoption is? It's including your salvation. When you got saved, you got adopted into the greatest family there is. It's the family of God. You now belong to the greatest person there is, and that's God Almighty. You're his child. Now listen to me. I'm a father of four. There's nothing I wouldn't do for my kids. I would help them in any way I could. Aren't you glad God will help you? Aren't you glad he knows his kids? Even when kids are astray, he's waiting for you to come back to the Father's house. Some of you today have some kids that you're praying for. Don't give up on your kids. Don't give up on your home. Don't turn your home back over. Finish the race. If you're married today, you have husband and wife in that home, grow together in the Lord. Don't let everything else, get rid of the noise. There's too much noise. You have access to too much stuff. You're watching and listening and looking at other people's lives you shouldn't be watching, listening, and looking to. You're comparing yourself to places and people you should not compare yourself. The Bible even tells you not to compare yourself to others. Why don't you just thank God and be content with the life he gave you? With the wife he gave you, with the husband he gave you. Well, you know, but life would be a whole lot. Listen, you know when life gets exciting? To die is gain. I know that's hard, but when you go to heaven, it really going to get exciting. You know what's exciting down here is I get to please my Father. I like to please my own earthly father. I disappointed him enough in my life. I appreciate all the times he was willing to forgive me. Give me another chance. He could have thrown me out so many times. Rightfully so. But he loved me. You know, texting makes it a lot easier to communicate. Because talking to people is not easy. I'll call him this afternoon, but this morning I was a little tore up, so I just simply texted him. You know what he said? He said, "No problem, son." He said, "Dad, I'm pretty sorry." He said, "It's all gone now, son. I'm just pleased where God has you now. I'm real glad he didn't give up on me. I'm glad I had a father that stayed on his knees. I don't think I'm here today without my mother and my father praying for me." Kids, you listen to me. I don't care if you're 20, 30, 40, 50 years old. You got parents praying for you. You thank God for that. You know, your flesh wants to rebel. Your flesh doesn't think you need God. Can I tell you, you need God? Can I ask you a question? I'm done. Can you say this morning, "Abba, Father"? Is God your father today? He's not everyone's father. Don't believe the Pope. He's a liar. They'll lie to you. Well, in the end, he'll just forgive everybody and everybody goes to heaven. Or you'll pray him out of purgatory or you'll pay him out earning up money. What a lie. What a lie. You can't find that in the Bible. That's what makes it a lie. Let God be true and all men liars. God's calling them a liar. So do you know? Do you know? I know in whom I have believed. Is your Father God Almighty? I trust He is. And if He is, maybe today you need to get down there and say, Father, I need some help. Father, I'm sorry. Father, I'm coming back. I've served this world long enough. I forsook you for the love of this world, but God, what more than know the love of God? I'm coming back to that love of God. I need you, God. You know, I call Acts 27 right there the broken board that gets you to life. It's the broken board doctrine. Why? The ship's going down out there, but not one life is left lost. Because God said, well, aren't you glad you're saved? Your life will never be lost. But you're going to go and you might reach shore. You might reach heaven on some broken board. But I'm glad I'm going to reach it. You may be going through some hard times and some difficult times today. Aren't you glad you have a Heavenly Father who can help you? Some of your fathers have already gone off and have died and have gone off to eternity. You don't get to talk to them anymore. I know that day is coming for me if the Lord tarries. I don't look forward to that day. It's just one of those days, one of those things in life where I'll pick up the phone and he won't be on this earth anymore. That's hard. I'm sure some of you today, if that's happened to you, you're thinking, man, I'd sure like to talk to my daddy one more time. You know how you'll be able to talk to your earthly daddy forever? Get saved. And you'll have a great reunion someday. But aren't you glad you can talk to your Heavenly Father today? Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you. Adoption. Adoption. Lord, when you really consider it and you think about it, the cost of adoption, cost your son his life to be able to adopt us into the family, for you to become our Heavenly Father. Maybe today is where we start and just get down there and thank you, Lord. Maybe there's some fathers here today that want to get on their knees, say, for me and my house, Lord. Maybe there's some mothers in here that want to get on their knees and say, Lord, for me and my house. One thing my house needs is a husband and a wife that love each other, but most importantly, love the Lord. Make that book the final authority and all that we can have some things and not let the devil get a hold of us and place things in there and divide us, tear us apart. The devil would like no more. He can't touch your soul, but he'd like to tear you apart. Oh, I feel like we're growing apart. We won't grow apart with that book. We won't grow apart if we both love the Lord together. We'll serve Him together. We'll love. So maybe there's someone in this room and say, preacher, if I died right now, I don't know if I'd know I wouldn't go to heaven. If I don't go to heaven, it's only on the